Hi Satish, hi Ahmed. Good to see you at the park today.
Hi Raj, hi Ahmed.
Hi Satish.
Good to see you all.
You too.
So look, we're going to have a quick chat today because it's something that's sort of been discussed out there around obviously data, right? Data is needed for artificial intelligence, whether it be for modeling, whether it be for learning, whether it be for ongoing aspects. And obviously this it can be a contentious issue within companies, within organizations, government and private. So really, just a starting point, everyone says data has got value behind it. How do you value? How do you actually say, okay, the data is worth X amount if you're a business or government? Can you do that?
Yes, you can. It depends on the challenges that is facing that particular industry or a sector. So to start with, data is the new economy for UAE, right? So using data, you can model and you can build models within a model and have predictive and prescriptive outcomes. So data can definitely add value. How to quantify that? That's the largest question that is still remaining in the industry. That is why there are a lot of people who are not very keen on giving data. Because they don't understand the value behind that data. So the key part to it is understanding the value of that data.
So I mean, a lot of companies over the last 10, 15 years, you've got your Ubers, your Airbnbs, your Amazons, etc. They've been collecting data, everything, mostly from a retail customer standpoint. So by creating their own data, obviously they control it and they're able to obviously, create their product. Facebook obviously is another example. So within the organization, you now have, let's say government or private, you now have data that's been sitting there for 10, 20, in some cases in the UK, 30, 40 years, right? So someone from the operations side wants to access data. Obviously, you're a security specialist, Ahmed. Your instinct or your profession will say not to give access to anyone.
Right.
So obviously he said we don't know what the value of the data is, but there is obviously a standard value to it. And obviously there's a risk if it goes into the wrong hands. So how do you balance that? If someone like him comes to you and says, I want access to data, what's the first thing you say?
Secure access.
Secure access
to the data, yeah. And plus we have to give right access to the right person.
Privileges and
yes,
things like that.
Yes.
But then how do you do that from a technical standpoint, that's understandable. But from a legal standpoint, are those things that you are looking into? Is that something that security specialists have to know about?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so compliance, data governance.
Of course. Like adding controls to manage this data, to secure the data as well, to giving right access to the right person at a time. This is what we are looking for as the technical.
Right.
So one thing is, Ahmed, to give the access to data or access to our HPC as a service data center, right? The other thing is that is from a security point of view. There is other compliance and governance part of it is right.
Yes.
Adhering to the UAE laws, the data protection laws. So how do you look at that? What is your thoughts on those?
For this, actually, there is frameworks which we are following up to for the data, which is like GDPR, HIPAA, ISO. All this is a framework which is used for the data security and privacy as well.
Right.
Since we are here in UAE, we are following UAE security policies to secure the data for our customers, for our clients as well.
So as technology changes, I guess data laws are changing, right? Is that something that you've experienced as well?
Yes.
It changes a lot. So when you've got obviously changing in technology and then changing in this value and what the technology can do to existing data sets, obviously there's a commercial or a cost saving or societal benefit, isn't there, in what that data provides. And so what you're finding is within nations, nations who have a forward policy, let's say, on using AI, as long as their data policies then obviously follow that, that's where they'll have an advantage, right?
True.
Yeah.
That is.
And so what
and that also gives a kind of security to the industry or to the government sector, you know, to actually share data. Because if there are those policies, regulations available in a particular country, then if we adhere to that, then data should be shared. That's my take on that.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we've experienced, I think, just generally, you know, taking any sort of commercials aside, any sort of business element of it aside, when we have our discussions, you know, places like the Sharjah Park, obviously we're doing stuff with other universities in other countries, obviously universities here, the university seems to be a trusting factor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it?
I mean, whenever there is what we have seen, at least here locally or in any part of the world, but especially in UAE, when there is a university involvement there, then, you know, people are more feel secure to share that data, because maybe it's because the data is, they have a feeling that the data is lying in trusted hands, the resources are available, are being used locally. The in-country value part of it is a big player in terms of accessing that data.
I mean, I saw them potentially as just a partner for tech transfer. Right? That's what we saw them as.
Right.
They can do modeling, they've got the academics, they've got everything. But I think what the side sort of benefit that we've seen is that any university that's involved, you know, having an end user, let's say, who's looking to use AI, once the university is involved, it does seem to make life a bit easier. Or maybe it's just an understanding. Maybe it's not so much on a physical security. Maybe it's just an understanding that universities are those trusted institutions within countries, perhaps.
Or right now, the place where we are sitting, you know, if the park can be a facilitator to access data or govern those data, then it's a big thing for all the codes out here, you know. Then companies feel more secure, government entities, citizens, you know, those data can then be of much more accessible, or we get much more access to those data.
So sovereignty, so that leads on to, like, you know, you're talking about sovereignty, obviously data, in the Emirates, they've had a massive genome sequencing, data gathering over the last few years. Obviously with AI, with 5G, it's now the transfer of data. You know, 5G, you know, 4G was built for faster access for humans, right? For data, but 5G is machine to machine. You know, 6G is obviously going to be the next level as well. So within the data sovereignty, it's easier to manage, you know, human interaction with data. But what about when you talk about machinery? You know, when it comes to security and data transfer is happening autonomously, let's say, how will the industry keep up with that?
See, for 5G, we are saying it's machine to machine, or everything connected to internet.
Yeah,
it's IoT. So here there is a lot of ways to secure the data between machine to machine. How to secure the data from data source to our HPC or edge or data analyze processing unit, especially with 5G, more secure than 4G.
But can you have agility? So agility in hardware, in HPC, is one thing. That's hard.
Right. Yeah.
But having agility in your data governance and your data compliance, right? So the whole point with AI is you start off with one data set. You might then add two or three or four. But it's the external data sets that you never thought of. So now you're mixing two different organizations' data set. Already, you know, just you're thinking, no, I'm not going to do this, right?
Right.
So, but then the business case will come to you and say, we need to do this. So are you judging it on a business case or are you judging it on security?
Both of them, we have to do balance for both of them.
So how will you do that?
You don't know.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah,
if you don't know, you don't know. It's one of those, isn't it? Where, you know, as you have discussions like these and you start bringing use cases on some things, you're not going to be able to know.
Right.
You know, there's some data sets, like I said, with citizen data set, doesn't matter how much somebody comes with certain money and says, okay, now this data set is worth X amount, there's a moral obligation, you just do not sell it. But then that doesn't stop now governments from having their own ability to design technology or design products, which they may sell to other governments, right? Mm. There could be a G2G basis.
Yeah, because there is citizen data that is there lying. at the federal level or at the emirate level, and then there could be data that needs, police might need some data,
right.
Or there could be social services that need data, or access that data to make useful outcomes, yeah. You know, of those data. Then in that case, yes, data sharing becomes a huge point of discussion, yeah. You know. So, yeah, currently we'll have to figure out how to do that. We don't have answers, but as the use cases are building, we are definitely finding answers to that. And as I said, you know, any government authority that can sit in between and do the governance of that data, then it's a fantastic case where we can have.
Because there's an ideation, yeah. There's an ideation behind, you know, you can have, you know, data. So basically the idea with good product development is data structures and algorithms, okay? But obviously those data structures, obviously, you know, security behind it has to move alongside it, at least. If it's always behind, then that's going to obviously cause, you know, backlogs, and, you know, you're not going to be able to do product development that quickly. So in a way, this conversation is good to give you a bit more of an idea,
right?
Things that you probably didn't think of, right? Mm. So things that we need to go away and research. Because obviously from a commercial standpoint, you tend to sort of say, well, here's the idea, this will work. And then afterwards you say, okay, where's the moral block? Where's the perhaps the technology block and whatever. So that ideation will play.
And how about the question of, you know, when you really want to model a data or the data sets that are coming in from various sources or a single source, let's say, how do we optimize that data using GPU is one question that I have for you, Ahmad. So are we ready to optimize it for a GPU, or what are your thoughts on that?
Of course, actually, there is for each data development, there is a workloads. We have our own CPU, GPU. So it's based on workloads, what we are expecting, what type of data we have. So we are ready.
But also, I think the good point you made was MATLAB. Using obviously these experimental software. The good thing is, before a scenario is presented to compliance or presented to the business unit, you can model it out. So the main discussion point of having universities was obviously to say, okay, look, you can try anything here. You know, under GDPR, there's a research clause in there. You can do anything under research as long as you don't take any action on it. So that's something that can be done. Universities helping on that helps. Then the new laws that might come into, because if there's a data set that has been combined that shouldn't be combined, but there's a case behind it, that's when obviously you need an agile government perhaps. You know, maybe you might have to advise governments about data compliance.
Of course.
No, because we'll have evidence, we'll have cases that we can give them and say, look, this is what we did. And the modeling comes into play. So modeling, I think, you know, simulation, right? We always talk about digital twins and simulation and things like that. Even with data compliance, security scenarios, you know, that's where you're getting universities as well, which you probably didn't think of before.
Yeah, we haven't, but I think we are have a discussion with one student for the same.
Oh, that's true. Yes. We met
but Raj, like you said, digital twin could also be a big challenge when you're modeling that, you know, in the HPC itself, because you have a lot of data that is coming from your sensors.
Right.
You have your physical science simulation that is happening, where, you know, the business owners, when I mean by business owners, the business process owners will be involved.
Right.
The simulation experts or the physics experts from universities will be involved. So there is a dynamic change there, or an agility required there, you know. From that perspective, I think a digital twin is going to be a challenge in terms of multiple data sets, multiple people handling the data,
so
multiple
the
experts.
Is
the concept
it's
is
brilliant.
Is brilliant, and it does really help people, help industry.
But the data access
part of it is what we have to.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
work on
taking a building as an example. So you may have a building, let's say this structure here, you may digital twin it. But then if you want to get 5G access into the far corner, you need the local operator to help. If you want to look at the plumbing and the sewage works, you need to have the local utilizer. How much data will they give you about their network?
Right.
That's a security issue.
Of course.
Right? So then it goes into, I see your point. That's very good. Even modeling sometimes will have its restriction behind it.
Very
because
much.
Again, data sharing is the trusted few. I mean, without talking about sort of commercial projects we're doing, there's certain things that we're doing cross-border into other countries where obviously if you're not a citizen, you can't see or look at the data. You know, there's a human factor in this, which is you know, you can't get around, can you?
No.
There's no other way. There's certain technologies you can talk about which will alert this or alert that. But once it's done, once data is breached, there's no real comeback from that, is there?
Right.
So what do you do then? Nothing. Pretty much nothing. So it starts from the beginning. All we can do is, like say, try and bring those barriers in beforehand, all those privileges, access privileges beforehand. And do that. Yeah, like I say, you know, data at the moment is a bit of a still. If you look at how data's moving, obviously there's lots of streaming that's going on, but obviously the way that processing power and data collection devices are being put on there, it is going to change. And I think with the work that we're doing generally in terms of obviously product development and ideation, it'd be interesting to see how when we talk to our partners, we talk to the end users, what information can you give them that makes them not only understand, I think a lot of people understand this, what they don't perhaps want to, perhaps what they, you know, they can't sometimes see is how to do it. What we're saying today is we don't know either, but the only way is you can try and then discuss it with the various experts. That's the only way, really.
Yeah, and we see, companies or governments not objecting to data as long as they understand the value of that data. Or there are challenges that need to be addressed, and they see that value in data. So anybody who's seen a challenge and who wants to overcome that challenge has seen the value behind the data and has never said no, as long as we comply to the regulations of the country itself and overall, you know, the GDPR and whatever compliance is required. We have seen that, you know, once a customer understands his challenges and value, there is a will to share the data and give us access to the data. Yeah. So I think,
Okay, cool. So obviously there's a lot to think about. Obviously the whole point of these sort of discussions is that we'll start tying it in with the rest of the team, because obviously there's lots of overlap that will happen here as well.
True.
And the idea is that the more learnings we can give to people out in the UAE and other parts of the world as well, I think obviously we hopefully will get some feedback as well. But obviously this is a changing landscape.
Yeah.
And let's see how this goes on to the next conversation.
Thank you so much.